The Public News Service Daily Newscast for Monday, June the 3rd, 2019. I'm Mike Clifford. More troubles for the Boeing 737 and not just the MAX. Also on our Monday rundown, what's next for workers after boosting the minimum wage? Plus college hunger and the California fracking plan. Topping our news, more than 300 Boeing 737 jets, including the MAX, may have faulty wing parts that don't meet strength and durability standards, CNBC reporting the FAA made that statement Sunday following a joint investigation with the aircraft manufacturer. The FAA, for their part, plans to order airlines to remove and replace the parts if their aircraft are affected. CNBC adds that as many as 148 parts made by a Boeing supplier could be susceptible to premature failure or cracks. With the state of Connecticut set to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour, organizers now are setting their sights on making further gains for low-wage workers.
Now that Governor Ned Lamont has signed the legislation, Connecticut's minimum wage will go up to $11 an hour in October and $15 in 2023. But while organizers are celebrating that victory, they say there still is work to do to improve the lives of workers in the state. SEIU Local 32BJ Vice President Juan Hernandez points out that fast food workers and other low-wage workers still need benefits such as regular work schedules, health insurance, paid sick days, and paid family leave.
The reality is that minimum wage is not a livable wage. And the only way that those workers will move to a livable wage is to organize the union.
He says in the coming year, the coalition that advocated for the minimum wage increase will be pushing for health insurance for everyone who works 30 or more hours a week. I'm Andrea Sears reporting.
That increase will give an estimated $1.2 billion a year to Connecticut's lowest paid workers. Jokes about starving college students relying on ramen noodles, rice, and other cheap foods are no laughing matter, as recent research uncovers the broad scope of campus hunger. Barry Sherman has the first in our two-part series on student hunger.
45% of student respondents in a survey released by Temple University said they had been food insecure in the past month, meaning they were unsure where their next meal would come from. Marissa Vernon-White with Lorain County Community College explains increased access to higher education means more students entering college with unique situations.
We have this image in our mind of the college student who's living in a residence hall, who has a food plan, whose parents are sending them money on the weekends, and that's just not necessarily the case.
Lorain County Community College offers the Commodore Cupboard Food Pantry for students and community members. Otterbein University in Westerville also offers similar assistance through its Promise House, where AmeriCorps Vista member Jamie Green works with volunteers and students.
It's hard to study when you're hungry. It's hard to keep yourself motivated and stay up later to finish a paper if you're just constantly thinking, my stomach is grumbling, I'm hungry, I haven't eaten today.
7% of two-year students and 5% of four-year students surveyed skipped eating for a full day because they couldn't afford food. At least a dozen Ohio universities and community colleges have food pantries.
In part two tomorrow, Mary will look further into the response to college hunger. Governor Kate Brown has proclaimed today Age-Friendly Oregon Day, recognizing communities' efforts to make the state livable for people of all ages. More on the story from Eric Tegenoff.
AARP has been urging cities and states to consider how to prepare for the country's rapidly aging population. AARP Oregon State Director Ruby Houghton-Pitts says we need to think about how to accommodate the needs of people of all ages and abilities now in order to create comfortable places to live.
What Governor Brown is saying to Oregon is we have an opportunity here. We have an opportunity to work at the community level to create what we really want the next generation to inherit and how we want to live as we're doing that.
AARP has designated 6 Oregon cities and 1 county as age-friendly. They are Newburgh, Portland, Salem, Sisters, Springfield, and Talent, as well as Multnomah County. According to a recent AARP report on age-friendly communities, Oregon is one of the fastest aging states in the West. In her proclamation, Brown encourages Oregon to map out a path toward becoming an age-friendly state in 2020.
The AARP age-friendly policy focuses on 8 areas, including transportation, respect and social inclusion, community and health services, and social participation. Finally, Suzanne Potter reports time's running out for people to put in their 2 cents about the Trump administration's plan that would allow more fracking on 1 million acres of federal land in central and southern California.
The public comment period on the Bureau of Land Management's environmental assessment ends 1 week from today on June 10th. Howard Penn with the Planning and Conservation League says hydraulic fracturing carries unacceptable risks of toxic chemicals seeping into the groundwater and pollutants worsening air quality.
What this really comes down to is the drinkable water and clean air. These are the real major impacts for especially disadvantaged communities. They don't have the systems in place to be able to extract the chemicals out of the water table, especially people that run wells.
The land in question ranges from the coast to the Central Valley across Fresno, Kern, Kings, Madera, San Luis Obispo, Santa Barbara, Tulare, and Ventura counties.
Public comment can be made at the BLM Bakersfield Field Office website. I'm Mike Clifford. Thanks for starting your week with Public News Service. We are member and listener supported, and we're online at publicnewsservice.org.